city was Jerusalem. The time was long ago. The people called him Jesus. His crime was the love he showed. And I'm the one to blame. I caused all the pain. He gave himself the day he wore my crown. Gave me life that only he could give, and I gave him cause to cry. And though he taught me how to live, I taught him how to die. And I'm the one to blame. Caused all the pain. He gave himself the day he wore my crown. He could have called his holy father and said, "Take me away, please take me away." He could have said, "I'm not guilty, and I'm not gonna stay. I'm not gonna pay." But he walked on through the gate, and then up Calvary's hill. As he fell beneath the weight, he cried, "Father, not my will." And I'm the one to blame. I caused all the pain. He gave himself the day he wore my crown. I'm the one to blame. I caused all the pain. He gave himself the day he wore my crown.
All right, wonderful. Thank you, Brother Shaddix. The reason there was a cross was because there was sin that needed to be paid for, a debt that needed to be paid, and that debt was for you and for me. Your sins and my sins that put the Savior on the cross. We need to never forget that. Remember, the cross, it's not just a symbol you see on a necklace or that you see on a sign somewhere. The cross, to the born-again believer, represents redemption. It represents salvation. It represents freedom. Boy, I'm telling you, we don't have to ever forget it. The cross should never become something that is not important to us. We ought to think about it, read about it, meditate on it all the time. Take your Bible, Psalm chapter 40. We're going to read several passages of Scripture, Psalm 40 and Isaiah 55. If you'll find those two places, Psalm chapter 40 and Isaiah chapter 55. Psalm chapter 40 and Isaiah chapter number 55. Once you find your place, stand with me if you would please. We're going to read several passages here. We'll read a couple out of Psalm 40, and then we'll read several out of Isaiah 55. Psalm chapter 40 and verse number 5. The psalmist says, "Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done." You know, if all the books, you know, the New Testament said if all the books of the entire world could contain, or if all the miracles that Jesus did in his ministry, all the books in the world could not contain all the miracles and all the works that were done by him. And the psalmist says, "Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward." And that's important now, because that's going to be the gist of the message this morning. He says, not only are your works many, he said, your thoughts toward us are many. "They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered." Look at verse 17, same chapter. The psalmist says, "But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God." Now these verses here, the psalmist is on to something here. And what he's trying to help us to see here is that there's a lot of things that occupy God's time. But let me tell you something. There's one particular thing that is occupying God's mind. And here he says, though I'm poor and needy, he says that God thinks upon me. Now, hold your place there and go, if you would, to Isaiah 55. Isaiah chapter 55. You see, most of us, we're one-track minded. We can't think of multiple things at one time. We can't multitask at one time. And yet, can I tell you this morning that God is so great that He's able to interpret and understand every thought of everybody in this auditorium simultaneously and not be confused. That's how great God is. And yet, the psalmist says he thinks on us. He thinks about us. Now I want you to notice here in Isaiah chapter 55, if you would please, and verse number 8. God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And I want to take these verses that we've read this morning and use Psalm chapter 40 and Isaiah chapter 55 and these few verses and preach to you this morning about what's on God's mind. What's on God's mind? Father, bless our time together. What a great, great opportunity that we have today to be in the house of God. Lord, I pray for those who cannot be here, that want to be here. Would you bless them today and help them restore their health and strength so they could be in the house of God. I'd like to also ask you, Lord, speak to our hearts. We came this morning because we want to hear something from God. We want to hear something from heaven. And we pray that you do so. Have your way in the hearts of the people now. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Have you ever seen or looked at maybe your spouse or your child in deep thought and wondered what was on their mind? Now, matter of fact, let me go a step further to those of us that are married. You ever talk to your spouse and you can tell that they're looking at you, but their mind's 1,000 miles away. And you stop and you say, "You're not listening to me." "Oh yeah, honey, I'm listening to you." No, because I can tell, I can see it in your eyes. You're not listening because our mind is on 1,000 other things. It's off somewhere else. You see, many times we watch people or we'll say something and wonder, did they hear what I said? What's occupying their mind? What are they thinking about right now? A lot of times our curiosity gets us, and because of that, you know, we got to probe to find out, what are you thinking about? Come on, tell me, what are you thinking about? And we want to know what's on people's mind. But may I say to you today, has it ever occurred to you what's on God's mind? What is God thinking about? Have you ever considered what God's thinking about right now? What is it that occupies the mind of our infinite, almighty, omniscient Heavenly Father? Well, obviously, there's no way that we're going to be able to exhaust everything that's on God's mind. So in order to, for sermon's sake, preaching's sake, I'm going to confine it into some little, three little small areas here, and then everything will shoot off from there. We don't have time to look at everything. But I want to talk to you this morning about what is on God's mind. I think it would do all of us a world of good if we knew what God and what was on God's mind, what God's thinking. And by the way, I learned in my Christian life, find out what God loves, love it. Find what God's interested in, be interested in it. Find out what God's desires are, and that ought to be your desires. You can't go wrong on God's side, doing God's things God's way. Can't go wrong. Hey, you like to be right, don't you? Say, oh yes, I love to be right. Then do it God's way. Do what God says, God's way, in God's timing. And I promise you can't be wrong. You see, it's impossible to address everything that's on God's mind. But let me clear up something first of all before I move on. So many believers, for whatever reason, I don't know where we've gotten this from, unless we've read too many books or watched too many religious programs that are not biblical. But somehow, we've gotten this idea that God, what's occupying His mind, is how He can punish us. And He's micromanaging our life and thinking, you know what, you can't do wrong, and if you do wrong, I'm going to punish you. We think for some reason that God, well, the only thing that occupies His mind is how He can get us. That's not what's on God's mind at all. Where did we get that from? Where did we get the idea that God is just waiting for us to mess up? Well, for most of us, He ain't going to have to wait long. Right? Because most of us ain't even going to make it to the parking lot before we've done thought something wrong. So He's not going to have to wait long. Let me say something to you folks. That's not what's occupying God's mind. But somewhere we think that God is out there trying to manipulate and trying to set traps for us. And trying to bait us into things. Where did we get that from? It's not on God's mind. Mamas and daddies that have children here. You're not sitting there thinking in your pew this morning how to bait your children into doing something so you can discipline them. It's not what's on your mind. You're not trying to bait them into something so that you can punish them. So many believers, for some reason, we've got the idea that the only thing that occupies God's mind is how He can find us in something wrong so that He can punish us in the way that He wants to punish us. That's not God! Now, does God have to punish? Yes. But that's not is what's occupying His mind. You say, oh, preacher, I can't wait. What's occupying God's mind this morning? Well, let me say, first of all, I think the first thing that's occupying God's mind this morning is fellowship. Fellowship. So how do we know that? Take your Bible, if you would, go to Genesis 2 for just a moment. Has it ever crossed our minds why God created a man and woman? So I know why He did. He created because He wanted them to replenish the earth. That wasn't the original design. Why did He create Adam and Eve? Look in Genesis 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Wait a minute now, look at verse 8. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there He put the man whom He had formed. Now you say, what's the importance of this? Well, let me say this to you. When God created that first man, and then eventually created that first woman, the original intent was He created them for fellowship. He created them so He would have someone to love, and then vice versa, have someone to return that love. He fellowshiped with them. He walked with them. It's very evident in Scripture. You know what's on God's mind today for you? Fellowship. You know what He wants from you? He wants fellowship. He wants to walk with you. He wants to talk with you. He wants to spend time with you. He wants to hold you. Just like a parent would want to take their little child and sit them on their knee, put their arm around them, talk to them, love on them. What's on God's mind this morning? Fellowship with us. That's what He wanted with Adam and Eve. Well, we know that over the course of time, things changed, didn't it? Look in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. Genesis chapter 3. Now sin now has entered into the heart of Adam and Eve. What was God doing with Adam and Eve prior to this time? Fellowshipping. Loving on them. They were returning that love. Matter of fact, you know how much God loved them and fellowship with them? He told them you can eat of all the trees of the garden except for this one. Don't eat of this one. You can eat all the rest of them. Go check me out. You know what other tree was in the Garden of Eden? It's called the tree of life. He said, you can have any of them. Eat of any of them. You just can't eat of this one. Well, we know that Adam and Eve, they came to a place to where they were manipulated into sin. They fell. And then verse 8, the Bible says in chapter 3, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. You know what God was coming to do? Fellowship. See, the thing about it is, you know what He wants to do with you and I this morning as we sit here this morning? Fellowship. But you know where some of us are? We're here in body, but we're hid in spirit. We're hiding amongst the trees. We're hiding out this morning. Oh, our body's here, but our mind's 1,000 miles away from here. And the Spirit of God's trying to convict us. He's trying to help us. He's trying to minister us. He's trying to fellowship with us this morning. And we're 1,000 miles away from here. We're thinking about what's going to happen this afternoon. We're thinking about what we've got to do tomorrow. We're thinking about everything except fellowship. And that's what's on God's mind. He wants to fellowship. Boy, that all got messed up. Look at verse number 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Adam, where art thou? It was time to fellowship. I wonder how many times in a day God says, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, where art thou? I met with you in that time that you dedicated to me in our prayer closet and you didn't show up today. Where art thou? I wonder if he came this morning and spoke to some people, members of this church, and said, listen, it's time to go to the house of the Lord. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We're to rejoice and be glad in it. Hey, we ought to be excited. It ought to be joyful. We ought to be happy when they say unto us, let us go into the house of the Lord. I wonder how many members of this church are at home today and God says, I wanted to fellowship with you. Where art thou? Where art thou? Some of them are hiding amongst the sheets. That's where they are. Decided not to get up this morning. Decided not to get up and come to church. And yet God wants that companionship. He wants that togetherness. He wants that fellowship. That's what's on God's mind. He wants fellowship with each of us. You know, when you go back and read the ministry of Jesus, you know what was on His mind? Fellowship. You know one of the things that He loved to do with His disciples? Fellowship. You know what He loved to do among the people? Fellowship. You know how I know that? Because you find Him many times at someone's house dining. Fellowshipping. He loved it. Why? It's what was on His mind. Hey, He wasn't looking out there trying to figure out each night, how can I set a trap for Peter today? How can I set a trap? I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to bait some of them into this, and then I'm going to teach them a principle. We think that's how God operates. That's not how God operates. That's not what's on God's mind. What's on God's mind? He wants fellowship. You know, the holidays are coming. Thanksgiving, Christmas. You know what we all like to do at Thanksgiving and Christmas? Besides eating. See, I'm going to tell you, some of your minds way away from here. Now, where I was going before the carnality slipped out of everybody was, we like fellowship. Do you like being around your family at holidays? You know, you don't even have to do anything. You just like being around them. You just like sitting around and, you know, and of course, Thanksgiving, we do eat and we give thanks and then we commit gluttony, right? And thank God's going to bless that. But we bless it anyway. And we sit around the table, and you know what we do when we fellowship? Boy, we talk about old times. We talk about how funny this was. We'll pull out, I remember going home years ago to my parents' house, and boy, I'm telling you one thing, back up when they start getting the pictures out. Because just mark her down, you're in for hours and hours of looking at pictures. Now, back when in the day, before they had video cameras and stuff, they put it on the little, what do they call those? The reels. And man, I'm telling you, my parents had one of those old projectors, you know. You could put that little reel on and run the film. And I'm telling you, anytime you can count on it, Thanksgiving and Christmas, we're going to watch movies. And they were movies about us. And you know, they were so old. You know how everybody's in fast motion? And we sit there and we're going. And look over there and you know what mom and daddy are doing? You know what? It wasn't the film. It was the fellowship. You know what was on their mind when Christmas time came and Thanksgiving came? It was fellowship, what they wanted. Can I tell you today, you know what God wants? He wants fellowship. He desires that. That's on His mind. He's doing everything He can to reel us in so we'll fellowship with Him. The problem's not with God, the problem's with us. Just saying to you, where art thou? Where art thou? You see, God can choose to do as He pleases. And yet He chose to fellowship with us. Now figure that one out. Figure it! God wants to fellowship with me as a child of God? Yes, He sure does. But that's not the only thing on God's mind. Not only is fellowship on God's mind, may I say to you, if you're right there in Genesis chapter 3:15, after the fall of man, let me tell you something else that was right, boom, right on God's mind. Redemption was on God's mind. Hey, the whole world was now falling into sin, and right on His mind, boom, redemption. He gave it to us in Genesis 3:15. Look at it. Genesis 3:15. God says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman," speaking of Satan, "and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." You know who he's telling us about? The coming Redeemer. The coming Savior. Hey, let me tell you something this morning. If you're here this morning without Christ, let me tell you, you know what's on God's mind this morning? Redemption. That's what's on His mind. Hey, for the believer, what's on his mind is fellowship. I want to fellowship with the people of God. I want them to love me. And you know what? I wonder if God sits in heaven and thinks, you know what? I just don't understand it. What else do I have to do to get them to love me? What else do I have to do just to get them to talk to me? I've saved them. I've blessed them. They have a home. They've got clothes. They've got food. They drive cars. They've got money. What else do they want me to do? Fortunately, here we are in 2010. Christianity at its peak. And yet most of our attitudes is not what we can do for Him. Our attitude is, Lord, what are you going to do for me? And normally it's not Lord, what have you done for me? It's, what are you going to do for me today? And you know what? I'll love you. I'll pray to you. I'll meet with you. I'll commune with you if you'll do something for me today. You know what that is? That's called infant Christianity, to think that way. That's how little kids think. That's how little kids think. If you know somebody does something, I'll do this if you'll do this. You see, you know what's on God's mind? Redemption is. God gave it to us from the very, very beginning. Take your Bible, if you would, quickly now. Turn, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 7. You know, time has passed now between Genesis chapter number 3 until we find this in Isaiah chapter 7. Let's find out in Isaiah's day if redemption was still on God's mind. Everybody find your place? Isaiah chapter 7. And verse number 14. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel. Stop! Is redemption still on God's mind? Oh, yes. And we find out that Emmanuel means God with us. You know, here even in Isaiah's day, prior to the birth of Christ, you know still what's on God's mind? Redemption. Redemption is still on God's mind. Fellowship is on God's mind. All right, turn if you would to Matthew chapter 1. Let's go to the New Testament. You say, oh, that was the Old Testament. Okay, let's go to the New Testament. Let's find out if redemption's still on God's mind. Matthew 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When? As His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now isn't that something? Because that's exactly what God said was going to happen. Look down at verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. We still in agreement? What's on God's mind? Redemption. He didn't change it from Genesis 3, didn't change it in Isaiah 7. Matthew 1 still hadn't changed His mind. Redemption still on the mind of God. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. Jesus now has gone through the most cruel type of punishment that a person could ever experience. Matter of fact, a human being outside the incarnate Son of God probably would never have survived this. And let's just find out now, Jesus now has gone through His ministry. He was born of a virgin. He's now ministered for many years now. He's now been crucified. He's on a cross. Let's find out and see what's on His mind. Now look, if you would, if in John chapter 19, John 19 and verse number 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, He said, "It is finished." And He bowed His head and gave up the ghost. What's finished? Is it still on His mind? Yes, it is. Yeah, it's still on His mind. Even on the cross, it's on His mind. What's finished? Redemption's finished for you and for me. You know what's on God's mind? Redemption. Redemption is on God's mind. We find in Matthew chapter 28, the resurrection took place. We find in John chapter 14, you know something else was on Jesus' mind even prior to the cross? Heaven. Matter of fact, what was on His mind was informing His disciples what they had to look forward to. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. He said, oh, by the way, guys, if it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. Now, that leads me to the third thing. What's on God's mind? Fellowship. What's on God's mind? Redemption. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that leads me to the third thing. You know what? This is exciting now. Not only is fellowship with the believer on God's mind, not only is redemption on God's mind to redeem those that are lost back to Himself, And you know what else is on God's mind? Reunion. Anybody ever been to a family reunion? Well, as a child of God, you're going to attend one that you ain't ever experienced before. And it's already being prepared for. A family reunion. That's what's on God's mind. So how do we know it's on God's mind? Take your Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all. Listen to me. We shall all be changed. How quick, preacher? In a moment. In the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So, when the corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what's on God's mind? Reunion. You know what the next event on God's calendar is? Reunion. You know, most people who plan family reunions don't plan them in 2 days. Right? They usually plan family reunions well in advance. Some of them maybe a year or two in advance. You know, we've not necessarily called them family reunions, but we get together as a family and from time to time, but they have to be planned. I remember planning my parents' 50th wedding anniversary. And you know, that's not a small task to do when you got people spread out everywhere. And you're trying to organize things, and you're trying to talk to brothers and sisters who are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles away, and you're having to email and talk to them by phone. And I always love, I love my brothers and sisters, I always love it when they say, oh, just whatever you think. Now, I hate that because I know what I think isn't what they're thinking. Because what's on their mind may not be on my mind. Sure enough, I order the cake, I plan the meal, I did what I thought for the decorations. People don't always see eye to eye with you, do they? Oh, just whatever you think. Now, what they're saying is, you do all the footwork, we'll be okay with it. What it is, you do all the footwork and when we show up, we'll tell you if we like it or not. Go ahead and spend all the money, and we'll let you know whether we like it. Don't you love brothers and sisters? They're wonderful, cruel people. Hey, there's a reunion coming for the believer, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Hey, all you single girls, don't worry about getting married. You're going to get married one day. Married to Jesus. Hey, the millennial reign of Christ is coming. Hey, you know what's on God's mind? Reunion, fellowship, redemption is on God's mind. You know what else is on His mind? Eternity. So, oh, how long is that going to be, preacher? Forever. How long is forever? Everlasting. With who? Jesus. Where? Heaven. All this on God's mind. You see, what I'm saying to you folks, where do we get the idea that God's sitting in heaven trying to bait us into doing something wrong? That's not what's on God's mind. What's on His mind is fellowship. What's on His mind is redemption. You find it all through the Scripture. All through the Scripture. What's on His mind is reunion. You see, all I'm saying to you this morning, if you're a child of God and you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, God wants fellowship. He just wants you to spend time with Him. All He does is feed us. All He does is prepare us, has us a place to live and clothes us and provides all our needs. Just little things like that. Oh, I left one out that's really important to all of us. He allows you to breathe. Have you ever thought about that? That every breath you take, God allows you to breathe. So every time you breathe, you know what all, we ought to. No, we don't. It don't even come out of my mouth. But you know, when we breathe, we all go, thank God. Praise God. Hallelujah. But usually that's not what comes out of our mouth, is it? Normally, God, when are you going to do something for me? Hey, Lord, I'm a little short here. When are you going to take care of this? Huh? Do you see what they did, Lord? You see, normally, it's not the right things that come out of our mouth. So what's on God's mind this morning? Fellowship. If you're a believer, you know what He wants? He wants fellowship. Would you come this morning? Would you come and rededicate yourself to fellowship with God? What else is on His mind? It's redemption. If you're here this morning without Jesus Christ, you know what He wants? What He wants for you? What's on His mind? He's already prepared everything. He wants redemption. He wants you to come and get born into the family of God. By the way, what do you have to lose? You got anything to lose? You have nothing to lose. It's all been done for you. Your debt's been paid. All you got to do is come claim it. What else is on God's mind? Reunion. What a glad reunion day that's going to be. That's the reason, folks, that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, because what we're supposed to be doing is exhorting each other, encouraging each other as we see the day approaching. It's an evil day. Listen, when we come to church, you know what we ought to do? We ought to be uplifting one another. We ought not to be coming and nitpicking people's lives. We ought to be uplifting one another, exhorting one another, encouraging one another. About what, preacher? Just let me know, you know what? It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right one day. Well, you don't walk in my shoes. Yeah, but one of these days, that mortal's going to put on immortality. That corruption's going to put on incorruption. You know what's on God's mind today? Fellowship, redemption, reunion. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe you're here this morning, you'd say, preacher,